Breakfast with Mark Bickley and Jared Walsh.
Tyre Power. Power Up Sale is now on with 25% off on Kumo passenger, SUV and four-wheel drive tyres.
2 minutes past seven. Good morning. 22 degrees today. A beautiful morning across Adelaide. Footy is back. Can you believe it? We have our Brekkie Brownlow a little bit later on, thanks to Con and Lena at the Brighton Trophy Centre. And Mark Bickley, as you make your way back into Studio Lumo.
Yeah.
Con Ketakidis from Brighton Trophy Centre. It was his birthday yesterday.
Happy birthday, Con. He's 35?
They're the best in SA. 35, I reckon, would be around the mark for Con. The best in SA Brighton Road. And I managed to pop into the Brighton Trophy Centre yesterday to say g'day to Con and Lena.
Did you drop our present off?
No, I didn't. I dropped my present off, Bix. You can't take credit for that one. But a lovely human being. So happy birthday to Con and thank you for your support.
Good on you, Con.
Also, before we get into Gogglebix, I just need to know, because we are living in a world where we need to be careful what we say. One of our producers and our boss, really, Sam Fantasia, just walked into Studio Lumo and he said, hey, can I give you some feedback? And I'm like, oh no, because that's never good. And he said, your hair's looking wonderful today. Because I gave it a tight shave last night. So basically, Sam has noticed that I've had a haircut, which is weird because I don't really have hair. But I took it as a compliment.
He should have said, your skull looks great today. Your scalp. Because that's what we're looking at. There's not much hair there.
But I've got a good shaped head, don't you reckon?
Yes. It looks like a bowling ball. It just needs those three poles in the top of it.
I got two nostrils and a mouth. I got three holes in my head, right?
Every Monday evening, more than 4 million Australians choose to spend time watching shows about footy. Find out what Mark Bickley was supposed to be watching on Gogglebix.
Yes, now, this is a special edition of Gogglebix because normally we do this on a Tuesday, but because of the Jeremy Finlayson verdict, and his three-game suspension, there was a lot of discussion about it. So,
can I ask quickly, sorry to cut you off.
That's okay.
What did you make of it, three games? Because I haven't heard what you thought of it yet.
I thought that was around the mark. Okay. That was where I was hoping it was going to land.
Yep.
Having said that, I also thought that's where Alistair Clarkson was going to land, around the two-game mark. So basically, if you haven't caught up on all the discussion around it last night, we want to let you hear what some of the key people are thinking. So let's kick it off with Matthew Lloyd.
My thoughts are that he got it wrong. He realised that straight away. The AFL's taken this very, very seriously, as they should, but I'm still disappointed in that, you know, the inconsistencies within the penalties over the last month. If Jeremy Finlayson was a bigger name, would he have got the 3 weeks? Has he been an easy person to do this to in regards to the 3 weeks compared to what happened with Alistair Clarkson?
So there you go, Matty Lloyd on Footy Classified last night. Jimmy Bartel also bought into the argument.
We believe the AFL is consistently inconsistent and there are double standards in its approach to dealing with players compared to others on behavioural matters. Also, if this type of conduct is a 3 week sanction for a player, it should be for everyone involved in the game and it should be clear everyone in the industry up front rather than open-ended approach that is currently in place, which highlights one thing for me, gentlemen, is that you don't compound a bad decision in the first place, which you started with there, Damo. Because you missed sanctioning Alistair Clarkson, that doesn't become the benchmark. You get the opportunity to fix a previous mistake.
And that's the conundrum. If we think that Alistair Clarkson should have been suspended and he wasn't, and we want consistency, so do we just overlook the fact that we think that Jeremy Finlayson should be suspended and say, no, we can't now because we didn't suspend Alistair Clarkson.
I think that's a really good point from Jimmy Bartel about the compounding of it.
Let's get it. Let's try and say, oh, well, maybe we did make a mistake and we got the Clarkson one wrong, but this one here, we've got to stamp this out. We don't want this at all. And they've done that. They've sent a really strong message. Mark Robinson tried to explain why there was a difference between Alistair Clarkson and also Jeremy Finlayson.
My understanding is that Clarkson was responding to comments from St Kilda people to him. and that's what he said. What he said. So it was unprompted. He was reacting. And my understanding is that part of the reason is St Kilda players weren't offended by what Alistair Clarkson said, whereas Essendon players and Essendon were very offended by what Jeremy Finlay said.
Instantly recognised what it was on the field,
and that played a role. That played a role in determining.
I don't buy into the second point that because the St Kilda players weren't offended by the slur, then that makes it less of a slur. Because once it gets publicised, it once again, it sends that message that this is how we talk in the game. This is how our thought leaders react. And they use this sledge, you know, they use this slur as a way of getting at people. It's a blight on the game. So it shouldn't matter if that person that you're directed at isn't offended. It's the fact that this language is in our game and it pushes people away and it doesn't welcome them. Mitch Cleary also spoke about the nuance that's involved in this decision.
My understanding, the two key frameworks to this, JB, and very few people will say this publicly. One, the word Finlayson used was worse than the word that Clarkson used. And two, that Finlayson wasn't prompted, whereas Clarkson was provoked. Response to the Webster-Simpkin incident and also some back and forth between St Kilda players. Now, two different sets of language were used in the statements. One, Clarkson saying it was unacceptable and highly inappropriate language. Finlayson, it was unprompted and highly offensive homophobic slur. So it's important to realise that Clarkson in the statement the AFL said there was no reference to homophobic slur.
So that's an interesting one, isn't it? So they're basically saying that, yeah, the words Clarkson used weren't as homophobic as the word that Jeremy Finlayson used.
Yeah.
We're splitting hairs, aren't we?
I think so. The thing that I took out of last night, and I'm glad you played all that stuff then, because it gives a bit of clarity around it, because it's been delivered now, the sanction. He's going to miss three games of footy, and we just leave it there, okay? Mm-hmm. And we take our learnings from this.
Yes.
The question that I had was when Jeremy self-reported, which has assisted, I feel, the length of the suspension. So that was acknowledged that because he was on the front foot.
Yep.
So that lessened the suspension. Did he self-report before Essendon reported? Because we knew that the St Kilda players were unhappy with what happened with Alistair Clarkson. The comparisons of Taylor Walker. Taylor Walker was reported. He didn't self-report. But it was only last night we found out that Essendon were unhappy with it. So did he get in early before the Essendon guys reported?
I think the contrition is real from Jeremy Finlayson. I've had other people say, it came up on the microphone, so, you know, like he...
I'm not saying the contrition's not real, but I'm saying that the Essendon players would have had to be disgruntled with it for it to go further.
There's a couple of things that can happen. One is it only takes one person to hear it, and that's the example with Taylor Walker. Walker was having a private conversation that was overheard, and it only takes that one person to hear it to be able to report it. So if the umpire had have heard it, they're duty-bound to report it.
Yep.
If another player hears it, that player can say to the umpire, this is what happened.
And that player with the training that happens pre-season, from what I believe, that player is duty-bound to report it too.
As well. So
it's not a choice. It's your responsibility to report it if you actually care.
So maybe Jeremy said it, instantly saw the reaction from a player.
Yep.
It's like, hey, you can't say that. And then says, I've said the wrong thing here.
Yes.
And then that's probably the cycle of events. In the end, like, once again, I think we judge people on a body of work. And what we see with Taylor Walker, I hope we judge him on his whole career and not that snippet. And I think Jeremy Finlayson is in a similar vein. I think we've all seen him be a really solid citizen. And this is something that he's done that he's regretted. And hopefully we look back at the end of his career and he sees this is a moment for him to get better. And he's talked about that and he's going to do some more education. And this will be part of a journey that he goes on, but we shouldn't define him.
It is 11 minutes past 7, going for a top of 22 degrees today. In a moment, we have our nomination for Pull Up Your Socks, All Day Socks by Underworks. Comfiest ever socks for that new sock feeling wash after wash. We'll do it after this. Good morning.